And welcome to another episode of the Bakari Sellers Podcast. Today, we have a very, very, very special guest with us, somebody who I know I've loved and adored, and we collectively probably have loved and adored for a very long time. She's been in our life for a long time, but none other than Jada Pinkett Smith. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
You look radiant. You look like you've just been drinking your water and minding your business. You look good.
I'm trying. Minding my business. That's the part.
So look, my show is unique. In the beginning of it, we usually ask all of our guests the same question, which is to walk us through the arc of their career. But a lot of people know who you are, so I'm not sure we need to introduce you to our listeners. I want to jump into Worthy, though, your new book, the title itself. Why?
Man, because it's my journey from lack of self-worth to feeling worthy, you know, and finally landing in that place of like knowing that I am worthy and that, you know, it's such a universal journey. It's so universal. And so just that idea of like, because I was going to call the book Unlovable, right? Because I was like, we all kind of feel unlovable at times, you know? And then it was like, I think worthy is more of an inspirational, word, right? It's like, let's use the word of the landing place, you know?
And yes. I understand that. I don't know. It sounds like both of those journeys sound like you're preparing to write some R&B tunes in your future. We might need that. You know, one of the best interviews that I've done and one of the most amazing people I've been able to interview was Cicely Tyson. And I interviewed her on a Monday. And she passed away on that Wednesday or Thursday. It was the last interview that she did. And she was, if there is a definition of like Black excellence or Black girl magic, it's her.
Yep.
And one of the questions I was able to ask her before she transitioned was, why now? Why did she decide to write what I thought was probably the best book I've read in a few years at that time? And in typical fashion, she said, because I finally had something to say. So why now for you and Worthy? Was there something that happened with you personally that moved you to write a memoir? Where are you in your life now that you want people to know the Jada Pinkett Smith story?
It was, and I wouldn't say that this is the Jada Pinkett Smith story. I would say this is a component of the Jada Pinkett Smith story. So listen, this is just like one like small line, right? And I think with everything that I've been going through and this journey from, you know, to my self-worth, because I do think that, just like I said before, I do think that that is a universal journey. And so many of us are struggling with what are the signifiers that make us feel worthy. And just recognizing that all the signifiers that should have been ringing worthy, 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 were not. That wasn't giving me the self-worth that I needed. And just realizing that I needed to really take a deep healing journey. And I just wanted people to go on that journey with me, who, because I was like everybody else, it's like, you got everything. Like, what's wrong, right? And to just go,
it ain't never that easy.
Right? But I wanted to take people with me on that journey for people to see how and why that those external signifiers are not the things that will feed the internal voids of feeling that lack of self-worth. So I just felt like, I was like, that's a worthy journey to share. And it's, you know, it's that behind the scenes, the behind the curtain journey that I just hadn't been able to share, you know, because the Red Table just wasn't the platform that would be able to give the history and the context that was needed in order for it to make sense.
The Red Table is a place that we all looked forward to. For watching people go on that journey and watching you escort them down that path. When you started this book, did you have an audience in mind for it? Like who is the reader you want to make sure reads Worthy?
I think that people that are like on that journey, I wrote the book for the woman that I was when I was in a hopeless place. because there just wasn't a lot of material out there that reflected my experience. There wasn't a lot of material out there that reflected places that I got stuck. And I think a lot of times, because a woman's journey is still considered taboo, because a woman will be deeply criticized if she doesn't fit the patriarchal idea of what a good woman is, right? And so I really wanted to give a bit of oxygen to those who, you know, are on their journey and feel like there's nothing out there that's giving them understanding of what their next step might be, or if where they are is the right place to be, or and all of the doubts and concerns that come with, and fears that come with, you know, when you're traveling, trying to figure out your life.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Let me ask you a relatively presumptuous question, because I've been reading the book and I think it's pretty dope. I think you actually wrote it for somebody like me, which I get to next. But what do you do now when you get stuck? I'm just being presumptuous that Jada Pinkett Smith, even though you're on this journey and you've made progress, you still have moments in your life when you still get stuck. Is it a vice? Is it healthy? Unhealthy? I mean, give us something.
Listen,
smoking a pound of marijuana when you get down.
No, that's right. Listen, I had to stop all that. Okay. That's the whole point. I had to really let go of all the different sneaky little vices, right? And let me tell you what I do. I close my eyes and go into a quiet space. And I really get in contact with my fear. What is the fear that is running up on me right now that's got me stuck and in the grip, right? And so, because usually that's what it is. It's some kind of fear, whether it's subtle or whether it's like right in my face.
The reason that I said that I think you wrote it for me is because I am the husband to an amazing Black wife who is on her journey, I'm sure. And I have two amazing, beautiful Black daughters. One is 18, which is a whole different thing.
That's a whole different thing.
And one is
you
four.
Need to read this book, okay? For sure.
I'm reading it. But talk to Black men and what we should get out of this book in being better husbands and better fathers.
Well, you know, at the beginning of the book, I dedicated to my daughter and your daughters as well. And I dedicated to my sons and your sons too, because I really feel like it helps to develop a relationship for men to develop a relationship with that aspect of the feminine that they're not necessarily in touch with within them, within their wives, daughters, mothers, and sisters, as well as energetically within themselves, because the feeling world within you is your feminine space, right? The world of feelings is considered feminine. And as you know, men sometimes have a really difficult time traveling into that world, being into that in that world within themselves, and then holding space for the women in their lives, you know, and not taking it personally of, you know, all the stuff that all the weather, emotional weather that comes up for women, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just kind of helps you kind of navigate the different weathers of emotions that come up within yourself and as well as within the women in your life that you love.
I think people admire you for the way that you're an amazing mother, wife, but also one of the things that we saw Red Table and you learned from this book is about being a daughter. And I've written a memoir myself, and You know, I had to be honest about my family and my parents. And sometimes that's a touchy situation because they're doing the best that they can. How did you and your mom talk about the book as you were writing it?
I wanted to let her know what I was sharing, and I wanted to make sure that she was okay with some of the things that I shared, because, you know, at the end of the day, my mom's still on her journey too. Right. And so I wanted to be in step with her in regards to, you know, what she was okay with me, you know, sharing about, because I don't want her to feel she's come through a lot of her own shame and a lot of her own guilt. But I wanted us to be in partnership in regards to that part of our journey that we shared together.
One of the things I find more fascinating about you is Baltimore and the pre-Hollywood Jada, because that just seems like a different phase. You were free, loving. It was like a different spirit sometimes.
Yeah.
How do you talk about how you address being a Baltimorean and your upbringing in the book? And how did those formative experiences in Baltimore shape how you built the family and home life you have now?
Well, you know, I was the blessed child of two addicts. And my mother and I, there was a period of time where in my teenage years, you know, it was just us. And I was pretty much on my own. My mom's addiction pretty much escalated. And I lost my sense of all of the secure family foundation that I had, which was through my grandmother when she passed when I was 13. And then my mother and my stepfather divorced. And so the only man that I even knew as a father disappeared from my life. And so I went to the streets to find that security, to find that sense of self, that sense of power. And, you know, I found a lot of things there. You know, I got into, you know what I mean? I found a lot of things there that were helpful. I mean, I call it the chapter in the book is the University of the Be More Streets. Yeah. Because honestly, it's what I learned there that helped me survive coming to L.A. at the age of 18. To get into this business. It's like I'd run with some real wolves on those streets, right? So, yeah. You know.
Can nobody do no wild shit to you because you'd already seen it all. I mean, you'd already seen it all. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Seen it all, survived a lot, you know? I was like, so by the time I came to LA, you know, my instincts were on point and I knew how to keep myself safe in regards to, you know, any kind of Hollywood, you know, flex out here. So I'm grateful for what the streets of Baltimore taught me because it prepared me for Hollywood for sure.
You know, we talked about, you know, your mother's influence on writing a book and kind of the partnership on that journey. But the same question goes for your husband and your kids. How much of a role did they play in helping you to develop the content for the book? And if you feel comfortable sharing for the more uncomfortable parts of the book, how did you work those moments through with your family? Was it a red table talk about the book coming out?
It was, I went to each individual person. I went to my son, Jaden. I went to Trey, Willow. And I talked to Will. Will knew that this time was coming. And I really made sure that I told my journey from my perspective and that I didn't try to fill in what was going on with everybody else. So whether it's Jaden, how he felt about leaving the house at 15 or what was going on with him, that's his journey to tell. I was just speaking about my journey or the journey, all the complicated, complex journeys that Will and I have been on, you know, just making sure that I left it for Will to tell his journey and that it was up for me to just tell my perspective. It's just my perspective. And to make sure that I stayed focused on my perspective and my growth and my sense of responsibility in all of it.
How did they respond? Or did you, I mean, I guess the kind of blatant question is like, did you care how they responded at first? And then were they, you're like, this is the book here. I'm just telling you, giving you the courtesy.
Oh yeah. No. With my kids, I was really clear about certain stories that I was going to share. And Will, I just gave him the whole book to read. And, you know, he gave me his blessing and he was really proud. And, you know, he'd been championing me throughout the process of writing the book.
It's always good to have a champion in your corner. You know, one of the things in reading this book and learning more about you a lot of times when you're in Hollywood, we feel like we think we know you. It's decently presumptuous of us. And we assume we know everything about you and why you tick and how you tick. But what do people get wrong about you? And how much of this memoir is about correcting the record, so to speak?
Yeah, no, I didn't write the memoir. You can't correct the record. You just can't. Right. You really can't. I mean, let's just be honest. It's like for those that it will correct the record, great. But and for those who don't want the record corrected, it ain't going to get corrected. Right. So that wasn't even like part of the purpose of writing this book. But I think that a lot of people have a lot of things wrong about me. And to be honest with you, you know, I can't say that I've been really helpful in that area. You know, and so I really, my purpose of writing this book was just because I'm like anybody else who's just been trying to figure out how do you learn to love yourself while you're trying to learn how to love the person and the people that are standing next to you? Because a lot of times, and I think this goes for all of us, we'll either sacrifice ourselves, leave ourselves on the side of the road in order for our loved ones to feel loved, or we'll leave our loved ones on the side of the road in order to love ourselves, right? And so this book was a beautiful lesson, curriculum for me in learning how to love myself while also learning to love the people that are next to me so that nobody gets left on the side of the road. And that has been the biggest transformation for me and probably the most difficult. And I'm still learning how to do that because it's always been one or the other. You know?
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes has arrived in IMAX.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
One of the things that I'm excited about, and I've been married now 8 years, but marriage is hard for anybody. Like they know, first of all, I blame Will and a whole nother generation of Black men for not telling us how hard marriage is. Like they should have come together and grabbed us in a conference. They didn't tell us that y'all were a full-time job. They did not.
Right.
So, yeah. But it's hard for anybody. And I can't imagine. I mean, I'm a decently a public figure, but I can't imagine what it means to be a globally recognized public figure and how difficult it's been at times for you and Will to be together in such a public fashion. How do you tackle the most difficult points in your marriage in the book?
Oof. I tried very lovingly and compassionately. And honestly, because
gotta be honest.
Let me tell you something. I'm with you, right? I think all of this trying to make marriage look so easy and no. I think that I wanted to be really honest about what it takes, you know, and what I discovered in regards to my part in expectation and not coming to the table with my self-healing in place, you know, to really show like what can deteriorate a relationship and what can rebuild a relationship. And to show that marriage goes through so many stages, and that if you're looking to be married to somebody forever, that you're going to have to be willing to do some real work within yourself and in regards to your partnership. And that, like, marriage is a holy path, and it's not for the faint at heart. You know, and it goes through some really beautiful phases, and it goes through some really dark, turbulent phases. And it doesn't mean that it's not unique. I'll just say that it's not unique. I don't know any long-term marriages that have done it any differently, because we're all human and we all have our stuff that we got to work through. And we're lucky if we find somebody that's willing to stand next to us and willing to work through it all in a partnership. We're lucky, because most people quit. Most people just want to be in relationships and have partners that just please them. They're looking for pleasure only. And I have to tell you that being in a marriage and being in long-term relationships is about growing together and getting past these romantic phases of togetherness in order to get to what I call more unconditional love, right? And unconditional love does not mean unconditional tolerance. And we could, that's a whole nother show we could do together, okay? Okay. What that journey of getting to unconditional love looks like. Right. But what I will say is, you know, that's why all the phases, you know, you meet somebody and they're like a god to you or a goddess, and then you meet the human.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you learn to reconcile the two? Because both of them exist, you know.
And for people who are married now or about to get married now, can you be on this journey by yourself, or do both partners have to be trying to be healthier and going through that journey as well to make marriage work?
It really depends. I got to be honest with you. It really depends. It depends on, I'm always so careful with that one, because I'm going to tell you something else that I've discovered. Sometime we're on assignment. You know, and every
that's what you just said. Let's stop real quick, because that's a hell of a burden.
Yeah, it's something, you know, but that's when you have a specific relationship with your higher power. I have seen people that are on assignments in their relationships that I would say, what the hell? Why are you still up in this? You know what I mean? So I'm really careful to say what a marriage should and should not be. What I will say is you really got to be in tune. You got to be really in tune and in alignment with yourself. And if you're in tune and in alignment with yourself, you're going to know exactly what you should be doing. Because every relationship is a different curriculum for each party involved, you know, and it goes deeper than what's on the surface.
Similar question about parenting. Can you talk about how you learned to be the parent you are now, and who helped to shape how you approach parenting. Because I can tell you, as the father of 4.5-year-old twins, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm just trying to keep them alive and like love on them. I mean, that's about all I can tell you I'm doing with them right now. I want to raise good humans. That's about it.
Right. So I would say the best part of like the as long as we are always on the path of becoming good humans, and expanding ourselves and growing, our kids, they watch what we do. Right. It's like they do more of what we do versus what we tell them to do. I've learned that. But I've also, you know, one of the things that I did in my own, as far as parenting my kids, was like, I looked at the things that worked and looked at the things that didn't work within how I was parented. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I think sometimes when we become parents, we're like, we forget. It's like, hey, hold up. You were that once. So what did you need in this particular situation that's happening right now in front of you? You know? And so there were a lot of times that, even though my mother was an addict, I learned a lot from how she parented me and how she didn't parent me. I knew the amount of freedom that I had gave me a level of self-actualization early that prepared me for being able to survive LA. But I also knew that it would have been best if I had some bumper guards along the way. Like I could have a certain amount of freedom, but I definitely needed a certain amount of protection as well, a certain amount of guidance. So that's what I did with my kids. I kind of understood a level of freedom that they needed, but also made sure I had those bumper guards. You know, those bumper guards, like when you at the bowling alley.
Yeah, for sure.
So it doesn't go into the gutter. You know, the ball doesn't go into the gutter. So I tried to give my kids a level of freedom. I'd give them this space, and then I'd put a boundary. As long as you don't go past here, because if we go in life or death situations, this is where mama and dad going to come into the picture.
You know? Prison, life, death, or prison.
Exactly.
Do not add to the body count. Do not subtract to the body count, and try not to go to prison. That's the goal.
There it is.
So a couple of last questions, important questions. And I can ask this question now because the strike is over. But any new projects coming out, anything you got working on, you want the people to know about outside of Worthy, because everybody needs to go out and buy Worthy because it is amazing.
I don't know. I know WGA is over, but SAG's not over yet. So
I don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
So there ain't nothing you can talk about. Can I tell you? Your scene and Set It Off is one of two scenes. The other is when Macaulay Culkin died in My Girl. Don't worry about my emotional state.
Oh, I can't talk. They're giving me the wave. I can't talk about Set It Off.
I'm just going to tell you, it makes me emotional, but we'll move on. I'm just telling you.
It makes me emotional. That's all you wanted to say.
That's all I wanted to say. Let me get to the most important question. One they can't wink about, but when does the book come out? When is it available? How can people buy the book? Which is the most important thing, that most important questions that you can answer.
It comes out October 17th. So it might be out by the time this comes out. And you can go to Amazon, Target, ourworthyjourney.com and order the book. You can go Barnes and Nobles, everywhere.
Anywhere. Well, I love you, Jada Pinkett Smith. I want to say thank you so much for coming on the Bakari Sellers podcast and giving this young boy from Denmark your time and attention today. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Have a good one.